Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Back in on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM, ESPN. And joining me now is Jason Munns. He's a Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal on X at Munsley. Jason, good to talk with you, as always.
It is never a bad time catching up with you, Gabe. How are you?
I'm doing all right. It's been an interesting week of Memphis news. Not a whole lot of positivity out there. I don't know if you've noticed.
No, I mean, in the last 10 days, there's been the results of the NCAA investigation into the academic misconduct. We've had Nolan Smith leave for Tennessee State. We've had the arrest of Sincere Parker, Memphis basketball guard. The Big 12, kind of last but not least, the Big 12 said, we're good.
Yeah, far from least, I would say. I would say far from least there. $200 million supposed influx of money. Now, I think people have the wrong idea about that money. A lot of that is sponsorship dollars that are yet to be seen that they had to, if they were going to get a yes, that they would have to show and you know, throw out there and produce. So, you know, it's not just $200 million in liquid cash. People think Memphis is walking around with a wheelbarrow with $200 million cash.
No. There's no giant suitcase full of straight cold cash, or even somebody carrying around a signed check for that amount of money. No, it's like a lot of different things go into it. You've got sponsorship. One would assume some of the, you know, like FedEx and Lowe's and AutoZone and some of these big major corporations, you know, had given some assurance to Memphis that they would sponsor the Big 12, like do some sponsorship deals with the Big 12. And, you know, you'd add them all up and they'd get to a certain amount. And then, of course, there was part of Memphis's pitch or proposal to the Big 12 was also that they would not take any of the media rights distribution from the Big 12 for, I believe it was 5 years,
right.
Until the
end of the TV deal with ESPN and Fox.
Yeah. Which is 2031, I think.
Yep.
It is.
And also an out clause in 2031. If the Big 12 felt like Memphis was not going to be up to snuff after that date, they could kick them out.
Yeah. I mean, it's, on one hand, it's almost impossible to wrap your mind around it. Whether you're a Memphis fan or not, it's almost impossible to wrap your mind around the notion that the Big 12 took all of that into account and was like, no, we're good.
Right.
Like, especially in such a swift manner, the way it seems, once the deal was put in front of them, they didn't take hardly any time at all, if any, to arrive at the decision that they came to. That is a deal that I don't, you know, a lot of people sort of described it as unprecedented.
Yep.
I will say this, though. So, like, the two things can be true at the same time. It's a gut punch. I think most anyone can agree that when if you are the University of Memphis, if you are any of the business leaders who were part of putting this whole thing together, I don't think anybody could, you know, really argue with the fact that it's sort of a gut punch for the Big 12 to just say
plain up no. Right.
Now, what also can be true at the same time is, I mean, and I said this on my podcast with Jonah Dillon at commercialappeal.com, and he, like, I said this to him yesterday on our latest episode. Like, Memphis took so much heat for the bulk of the last 10 months since last September, when they turned down the Pac-12, when Ed Scott, who was on the job for right around 2 months at the time, turned down an offer to join the Big 12, the Pac-12. Man, did he take a lot of heat.
Right.
And like Memphis as a whole, the University of Memphis as a whole took a lot of heat, and it really hasn't slowed down yet, or didn't before the other day. Or it hadn't before the other day. What the news of, you know, what that news also does, also means, is that whatever narrative had existed about Memphis not trying hard enough or not caring, not caring about the future of the athletic department, it died that day.
Right.
But for good. For good, it died that day.
Yes.
So both those things can be true.
Yeah, well, and I think there's other positives, like the aggression that they're showing is one, but also the ability to raise money and put that type of offer into the lap of the Big 12. $200 million, nothing to sneeze at. It's lucrative. It's the most lucrative offer in the history of college athletics when it comes to, you know, vying for membership into a certain conference. So, like, I did, that was my first reaction. I don't know about you, Jason, but when I saw it come across my feed, my first reaction was $200 million? Like, how did they pull that off? This has been a program and a university that we have had this narrative about that's just scratching and clawing for every last dollar. The fact that they were able to put together a realistic package that they thought they could get by in a fiscally responsible way, that shows a lot about the direction that this university is headed under Ed Scott.
It didn't ultimately work. It was, so far to this point, at least that deal, the parameters of that deal, which also, what shouldn't be lost, like, we can talk about the $200 million. Even I want to say Brett McMurphy even reported it was worth up to $250 million,
right?
Over the course of whatever it would be, 5 years. Like, what also should not be lost in all of this that Memphis has gotten done, dating back past pre-Ed Scott, the football stadium renovations,
right?
The also reportedly part that also came out with the rest of the Big 12 stuff, that Memphis appears to be going to fully fund rev share starting next year.
Yeah, I have. I will say, Jason, I have been told that was in Ross Dellinger's piece, of course, and that was something that was sort of dug in there. I have been told by some people in the know that was more of a projection for if they got into the Big 12 as opposed to what it will be staying in the AAC.
I see. Okay. So, well, that being said, to sort of respond to that, I've been told that I have not been told what you were told, that it would not get to the fully to the 20.5 million. I have, however, been told that whatever the number is now, which I believe to be somewhere in the neighborhood of 11 or 12 million, starting next year, it will be more.
Yes.
I don't know. Again, I don't know that it will be the full 20.5, but I have it on reasonable grounds that it'll be more next year, and for the foreseeable future, and not just like a million more, like more than a million more. So again, we're getting into the weeds,
right?
But,
yeah.
But like, again, you know, back to the original point, you know, this isn't, it was not a good day for Memphis. However, like, it might be. Like, who's to say that that was, that you know, the other day, whatever happened in the last week or whatever it's been, was not just a jumping off point. Like,
right.
It's, you know, I can't say that. I can't say that it's, that door's completely closed. Now, I know that there's a lot of people making contentions that it should be, that, you know, Memphis is just beating its head against the wall. The Big 12 doesn't want Memphis. It's very, very clear. If they weren't going to accept that deal, then they're just, it's just never going to happen. That may be true, but I don't think anybody can say that for sure.
Yeah. All right. Now, there's some hard truths that we have to sort of dig into. Not easy to hear, but I think, you know, Memphis fans need to hear them. Like, what, given that this offer, like, basically carried no real risk for the Big 12 with all of the clauses and everything else, why would they say no? Like, what do you think is, you know, goes into the ultimate no that Memphis got? Because that's something that's really hard to grasp onto, and I think people want answers on that front.
Yeah, and I'm one of them.
Right, me too.
It would be wonderful if we could schedule a call with Brett Uermark and ask him that, but we can't. Or I guess we could. We could put in the request, but it's not going to – it wouldn't. I don't think it would work.
Right.
But, okay, so I think there's, like, a few possibilities. Right now, the Big 12 is not expanding. I mean, like, you know, it seems to me and to most others that the Big 12 is not actively looking at expanding. They expanded a few years ago when they added Cincinnati, BYU, UCF, and Houston. Then they expanded again more recently when they added, it was Arizona, wasn't it? And Colorado.
Yeah, and all the Pac-12 schools.
Yes.
Four corners, the four corner schools.
Yeah, when the Pac-12 imploded. So like, I get the distinct impression that the Big 12 just isn't in the market right now to expand. Now, that could be the reason, or it could be part of the reason. The only, if we're ignoring that part of it, the only thing that makes any sense to me is the Big 12 is playing a waiting game right now. Everything that's going on with the ACC could come to a head here in the next 4 or 5 years when it becomes, I think the year is 2030 when exit fees become much more manageable for schools that may want to leave the ACC. And it's, like I said, one of the only explanations that makes much sense to me is that the Big 12 is eventually looking to expand, and there would rather wait and see if they can land Louisville, Florida State, Clemson, or whoever, you know, pick a few schools from the ACC. They would rather wait and see if they can capitalize on whatever movement there may be from that domino falling before they commit to you know, anything else. Now, again, I don't, that's speculation on my part, but it's honestly one of the only things that makes sense to me.
Right. And then obviously, you know, there's been discussions about the perception of the city and the perception of the university. Maybe that falls into the category of why they said no. Now, I'm going to bring up something that a lot of people don't want to approach, but I have been told on numerous occasions over the last 5 years, when you get these various no's, and remember Brett Uermark supposedly took a visit to Memphis to talk about a potential membership offer, and then he said he didn't do that, and blah, blah, blah. Right. But this has come up on multiple occasions. The basketball program in the history, not necessarily just under Penny Hardaway, but under Penny Hardaway and going back into the past, there's been a bit of a history of dysfunction. Like, we don't have to hide from that. We know that. How much of a sticking point do you think that is? Because that's something I hear from various people in the know on a consistent basis, is that the powers that be in these power conferences, the member institutions, they don't necessarily want that in their backyard.
I would be surprised if that was not on a dry erase board in somebody's office when they're listing out pros and cons, when they're evaluating potential expansion candidates. I would be surprised if that was not
right.
Something that was part of the discussion, something that was part of the evaluation process. However, I would also be shocked if that held even the largest of candles to money, the
right.
bottom line. Like to me, if you like when a proposal is made, the likes of which Memphis put together for this proposal, I just shudder to
sure.
think that the people whose laps that landed in would even remotely be thinking about the off the court, like the dysfunctional side, like anything else other than money. I mean, I know that that's exaggerating a little bit. Like, obviously there are some other things. There are other things that you have to consider besides money. But again, from what we know, this was apparently such a sweet deal for the Big 12 that it's just still hard to wrap my mind around the fact that they just summarily passed without so much as even a discussion. Now, you know, you asked earlier, like, why would they have done it? Why would the Big 12 have passed so like they did? And I mean, is it possible? Is it outside the realm of possibility that they passed because it wasn't a suitcase full of cash, like instead of real
right.
money, like real tangible in your hand today money, it was sponsorships and it was foregoing media rights distribution and all this sorts of thing. The other, I'm sort of jumping around. I apologize.
No, it's all good. It's all good.
But it's a point that I think needs to be made. If the Big 12 had accepted Memphis's offer, that means that Memphis was going to have to pay a substantial exit fee. And we know that was a sticking point when the Pac-12 extended their invitation to Memphis back in September. We know Memphis did not want to pay whatever it would have cost mm-hmm. to exit the American Conference at the time. By Memphis proposing to the Big 12, that means they were ready to pay whatever exit fee there was going to be. And exit fees, you know, like that is money that has to be in hand. Like you
yes.
have to be ready to pay that exit fee right now. And the fact that Memphis made the offer means they had that money in hand. Like somehow, some way, Memphis was going to have the money, and I like, you know, we can ballpark it somewhere around 20, 25 million, somewhere like that. Cause like the reporting suggested that Memphis was, Memphis's pitch was that they were going to start playing in the Big 12 next year. And so the exit fee would have been higher because it would have been such a short notice, to the American. But I think that is a bullet point that needs to be highlighted because again, Memphis wasn't really in position to pay the exit fee to go into the Pac-12,
sure.
but they apparently were very ready to pay the exit fee to get to the Big 12.
Right, but obviously the completely different situations. I mean, full-on power right. conference, Pac-12's trying
yeah.
to reconfigure their conference. And I think another reason that the Pac-12 exit, going to the Pac-12 and paying that exit fee would have been a lot harder is the travel and the amount of money you'd actually have to pay to be a full-time member of the Pac-12
right.
in general. So there's a lot of things that go into that, but I do agree that is something worth sort of mentioning. I look at the entirety of this situation and I ask myself, and I don't really have a good answer, what's next? So what's next? Like what is the pivot? What's the idea now? Because it's very clear, you know, contrary to, you know, the thought in everybody's head before the Big 12 offer was made, It's very clear that they want out of the American Athletic Conference. Like, what? Yeah. What is?
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Is the avenue now that they can look into and go down?
Well, I mean, Ed Scott's been athletic director at Memphis. He's been boots on the ground for almost a year. We're like a week away from his year anniversary. Right. If I know anything about him from having covered him and spent a little bit of time with him over the last year, it's that I don't think he's going to be discouraged for very long, if he's been discouraged at all by what happened the other day by the Big 12 rejecting the offer. And so that tells me that, like I said, like maybe, we don't know. We don't know what the next move is going to be. It's possible that they go back to the drawing board and they come up with what they think might be a more enticing offer and go back to the Big 12. Like, that I think is on the table. I've seen a lot of, I've seen a lot of talk, a lot of discourse around, well, why doesn't Memphis just take that offer to someone else?
ACC.
The ACC. I don't know that it would necessarily, I mean, in theory, you could do that. But, like, the same people that you had, commitments from in principle, the same business partners, sponsorship.
Right.
Business partners that you had agreements with in principle to like pitch to the Big 12, would it be the same? Would they be willing to do the same thing if it's the ACC?
Correct.
And then on top of that, like, there is the sort of cloud of uncertainty that's hanging over the future of the ACC. Are you wanting to jump into that potential fire? We'll find out. Potentially, maybe we'll find out. And then of course the other option, well, I guess there's two other options. You can, try and work on this Pac-12 Big East hybrid,
yeah,
where football would go to the Pac-12 or the Pac, I guess we should say. And every other sport would go to the Big East. And I think a lot of people would be happy with that. And I'm talking about the fan base. I think a lot of Memphis fans would be happy about that. And then the other alternative would be staying put. And there is a world out there that exists in very much reality that staying put in the ACC, in the AAC, well, I guess.
Well, the American, the American.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Apologies to
Cincinnati. Yeah, you bet. You have to apologize to Soar the Eagle, first and foremost.
I know. Apologies to Soar, the American. There is a world where staying in the American is more fiscally responsible than anything else short of getting into the ACC or the Big 12. So, it remains to be seen. It remains to be seen what's next. But again, I this deal that Memphis put together with the help of a lot of these business partners, like, it was extremely creative. These are very creative people. These are very determined people. So I would doubt very seriously that we've heard the last of Memphis putting together proposals and putting them in front of power conference people.
Yep. Talking with Jason Munns at Munsley on X, Tiger basketball beat reporter for the Commercial Appeal. You were at the preliminary hearing there for Sincere Parker after his aggravated assault arrest. I believe he's out of 201 Poplar at this point. What do we need to know about that situation and how it could potentially play out?
So, yeah, he bonded out. The hearing was supposed to start at 9 a.m. this past Monday, wound up appearing before the judge, I guess about 9:30 or somewhere in there, and then within an hour he was out. And so, you know, there are certain conditions as part of his release, one of them being he has to wear a GPS tracking device, and it's a wrist monitor. I can say that it's not an ankle monitor, it's a wrist monitor. The tracking device is not like it's not to prevent him from leaving the city or leaving the state. It's just it's to prevent him from getting within 100 feet of the accuser.
Right.
In talking with Sincere's attorney after the hearing on Monday, he made it very, very clear that they're going to fight the case. Like they are not going to, they believe that they have enough evidence to support, to be able to disprove the claims against Sincere Parker, that there are text messages that will shed new light on the situation and videos that will shed new light on the situation. And he also told us, Arthur Horn is his attorney. He told us that during the alleged assault, Sincere was on FaceTime. His mother was on FaceTime during the incident, which would mean there was a witness who could either, who might be able to disprove the claims against Sincere Parker. So that's kind of where we are. Arthur Horn told us that as far as his standing with the Memphis basketball team, nothing has changed. Like, he's not been suspended. He's not been told he can't be around the team. He's still part of the team as the investigation plays out. And the next step is there's a hearing next Tuesday, which Horn told us that it's I forget exactly the way he phrased it, reciprocal discovery. And that is where he intends to present the evidence to the court that would show that whatever claims are being made against Sincere are not exactly true.
Yeah, and I would imagine that's where they would hope it would get dismissed. Now, if this does go to trial, is there, like, do you have any idea of a timetable? Because, you know, I know we're looking at July and there's a long time till season, but there's not that much time. Some of these trials will play out over a long haul. And I think that's something that a lot of fans have questions about.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, attorneys can be crafty individuals. And even if it does go to trial and like there are trial dates, you know, set for, I'll just pick a time like December or something like that, or January, like these attorneys are crafty and they can kick the can down the road, so to speak, enough to have it not impact the Memphis basketball season. It's too soon to know like a timeline on the whole thing, because again, like, this thing can go in so many different directions. Like, the charges could be completely dropped, they could be reduced, it could be thrown out because of insufficient evidence. Like, we just don't know exactly how the timeline is going to work. But until there is some sort of concrete resolution, Sincere Parker is going to be part of this Tigers basketball team.
Now, I'll try to end this on a little bit of positive news. A couple of 4-stars of the 2026 class are going to be visiting the University of Memphis September 19th. That's what I sort of saw come across my timeline this morning. Cello Jackson and Fred Smith Jr., how should we feel about those guys ultimately making their decision and committing to the University of Memphis for the 2026 class?
Yeah, they're both, as you mentioned, they're both 4-stars, 4-star prospects for the 26 class. Both of them are Memphis natives, which is a big part of the story. Memphis has been involved with both of them for a while. This is nothing new. I talked to Cello Jackson back in May when he was here for the EYBL event, and, you know, we talked about his planned visit. And, you know, he told me at the time that he and Penny go way back. And so, there is some real traction that Penny Hardaway in Memphis has with Fred Smith Jr. And Cello Jackson. And I did a story not too long ago, it may have been in June, where I talked to Antonio McGoy, who's another local prospect who is going to play for St. George's this upcoming season. And, you know, it became apparent to me in sort of like researching him and like looking basically looking up his Instagram. Yeah. And
that's research, you know, these days, by the way. I mean, that's,
yeah,
it's what we do.
I'm going to take it. Yeah. But like, you know, he picked up a Memphis offer earlier this year, Antonio did. And, you know, when he posted on Instagram that he, you know, when he went public with his offer from Memphis, one of the comments under one of the first comments under the, like on the post was Fred Smith, going, he said, teammates, ?
Okay.
And so the point is, it seems like, again, go back to what I said earlier. It seems like there's a lot of positive traction,
right,
that Memphis has with Fred Smith Jr. And Cello Jackson, and having them both come onto campus for an official visit in September is another sign of that. Another sign of it. Our preps reporter Wendell Shepherd spoke to Fred Smith, I think last night, and Fred told him that Memphis is so far the only visit he has scheduled. So,
it seems like positive news all the way around.
Definitely does.
For sure. Well, Jason, I appreciate it. Thanks for joining. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you very much, Gabe.
Yes, sir. He is Jason Munns at Munsley on X Tiger Basketball Beat Writer for the Commercial Appeal. Now let's go ahead and hop into the Blitz on that note when we return right here on the Gabe Kuhn Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.